And boom, we're back for another episode of AlphaCast. I'm Mike Winner, and I'm here as always with the great Dr. Bear Paul Lando right next to me. We're coming together to you live from his lab here on the grounds of the Alpha Vedic Gardens. Shaka, bro, in my screen. This is really cool. Who would have thought Bear has such cool technology? I show up, we've got two Shure mics running in here off grid, connecting to the helium saddle balloons above us, airing live to out to the world through LoochTube and Rumble and DLive. Oh, actually, I don't even know if we're using DLive anymore, but Sayergy's Unite and Odyssey. So thanks guys for joining us today. The audio is good. We're cranking. Really excited to have spring in full bloom here, Bear, and it's really amazing to be in this lab of yours. I remember when it was a dirty shed full of tools and paint buckets. It was, now look at the amazing work that's been done in here, and we're going to take you guys through a little tour of the lab and all of the technology we have in here that we are using, that Bear is implementing for our products and everything we do for Alpha Vedic. So very exciting. Of course, you know what I'm going to say right now, Music in Sky. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, what the heck are you doing? Go to musicinsky.com, and actually in the show notes below, because we're at tier two now, you'll see a special affiliate code from Alpha Vedic. You get 10% off your ticket. Come join Bear and I and Alex Zek and Dr. Edith is going to be there now. And we just added Aquanimous, who's an amazing DJ. We're working on a couple others, but the lineup's amazing. We have people coming from Australia, people coming from England, people coming from all over the world. Dawn Lester is coming from England, and she'll be up here. She gets to come see this lab in person. We're really excited about it. So go check that out at musicinsky.com. And anything else, Bear?
No, just this lab, as you already said, it's been repurposed. When we first moved in here about 7, 8 years ago, it was a generator shed. We needed to revamp the entire energy grid because we wanted to do it right. So we did a whole brand new energy system. Brand new generators, panels, inverters, and everything, and built a new place on the side of the main building. And we're wondering, okay, what the heck do we do with this here? It's kind of old and dingy, but we just came in and repurposed it. And that's what we do around here. It's all part of kind of the, what do you call it, the self-sustainability, I think, is in vogue these days. So we don't throw anything away. We just redo it and make it ours and make it work again rather than have more stuff to put on the landfill heaps. And pretty amazing. So Mike and I will give you a tour of this. And this is just a pure lab. I do certain things in here we'll talk about. And then we have a commercial kitchen. We also have an approved commercial facility down in Santa Barbara that I started with another sister company a long time ago. And I also had a lab at our previous farm before we moved in here. So it was, we're all self funded and do everything with our own elbow grease. So it takes a little bit longer than most people that get outside financing and do kind of the normie way, but we like to be free and clear and independent and masters of our own destiny. So if it takes a little bit longer, that's the way we like to do it. And we're going great guns here.
And when the federal douchebag agency wants to come out, the FDA, check out our whole system, we're good. But have fun getting out here. Have fun finding us.
Finding us and getting through the gates, and I'll need four-wheel drive just to get down or let alone back up my driveway. And they'll also be greeted with Mr. Mossberg.
Yes, we should have brought her into the lab today and give that a couple pumps. Yeah, it's really fun coming out here. I don't live too far away, luckily, so I can just shoot over here like I did this morning. But I will say there's an actual absolute magic when you come out to the land out here. It's just there's a resonance that is hard to define and hard to explain, but you feel it on the land. And of course, it's the, you know, nature's beauty and majesty here, but it's actually all the sweat and blood and time that's been put in here from Bear and Deb and the whole team. And Ysidro's out there, and then, you know, Sam and everybody who helps out around here. You can feel that in on the land. And as I'm walking the gardens this morning and seeing what Mark has done, there, it's a really beautiful representation of, I guess, what permaculture is all about, and what the divine plan of human thought and intention working with nature, right, Bear? It's like there's something absolutely majestic when you have, like you were saying, destiny emitting out of action, out of thinking properly, and then acting accordingly to plan, and having it just develop over time. And I'm looking out this window and seeing the beautiful gardens and things. There's beauty here. There's an aesthetic here that's really quite fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of people want to jump into this kind of thing, and we'd absolutely encourage it. And that's what Alpha Vedic's all about, is creating this final prototype here so that people can get some ideas and recreate their own in their own locality. Because if every community in the country and across the world, just like the Anastasia, you know, Foundation, Roy has a format where everybody has their own 2 acres self-sustained. Well, our format here is so you could have many of these small acre farms. We have a niche farm that's about medicinal herbs. You know, just not too far from here, we have folks with a few animals where you can get raw dairy and everything. But decentralization takes us, all of us in the community, doing it ourselves so that we're not beholden to anybody. And of course, what's being planned for all of us right now, because most people are 100% dependent on factory farming and large, Auschwitz types animal, situations. And that's nothing against carnivorism. We're just saying, no matter what you eat, you want to do it in a sustainable way, in a humane way, and not do the factory thing, because whether you eat plants or animals, you want healthy food. And that can only be done locally. That's the only way you can have controls over it and have any say about it. And then also, as they deliberately slow up the supply chains, as they burn down food processing plants, poison livestock, and everything that they're doing, GMO, spraying from the sky so that plants on the ground die. Well, you know, we don't have to be subjected to any of that. And it's time that we, like yesterday, start doing what we're doing here. That's why we do this. And Deb and myself, this is our fourth farming operation, and we've done it in different kinds of climates and zones. And for instance, we had a 12-acre plantation in Hawaii that was 100% off-grid, where we had bananas, papayas, star fruit, pineapples, you know, you name it, you know, as well as our vegetable gardens that grow in that kind of temperate climate. So we learn a little bit wherever we go. The farm right before this was a little bit south in Humboldt County. We took that to a high level. And now we take everything we've learned in the previous three, and we can hit the ground running here, but it still takes work. And the other thing, when you're doing farming or any such thing, you have to get on the land and let the land speak to you and tell you what to do. You don't just move in with your idea and say, okay, this goes there, that, you know, you have to do one thing at a time, really tune in, and then just let that one area flourish so that there's, when you expand, there's no stress on the ecology. There's no stress on yourself, so that you can give ample attention to, you know, your last cultivation or animal project. And then you just let it self evolve. And that's what we've done here. We're still probably about halfway done, but we're at a point where we can do high level things. And that's what we'll talk about today.
Oh, man, that's I'm learning so much from you guys about that. When we moved to our property, I was trying to go all gung ho and get the gardens going and everything. And I remember Deb reiterating the fact that it's like, do you even know your land yet? Do you know how the sun acts over a year through the seasons? What's the pathway? You know, and what is the overall sort of vibe and feeling? And I slowed down and took my time and started to get more in touch with the land. And I think that's a really amazing reminder for life, right? Slow down, get in touch. Okay, let me do the little intro here, Bear. spring is in full bloom at the Alpha Vedic Farm. So we're going to bring you guys here up to speed with the multifaceted affairs of the AV Enterprise. We're a bit unique in the health and wellness genre in that we see all things through one particular lens. What would appear as an eclectic array of independent endeavors to the average eye is just a logical synthesis along the same idea from our perspective. We are certified permaculturists with a working medicinal herb farm right out the window here, complete with manufacturing and laboratory operations. Our commitment to reestablish natural law as foundational to all financial and jurisprudence matters is witnessed through our efforts in equity education and real alternatives through the likes of groundbreaking technologies such as Cordal. We've more than earned our stripes on the frontiers of bioterrain medicine with decades of clinical practice and risked all by joining other fearless voices by speaking truth during the recent medical false flag. None of this means anything, however, unless our experience can be shared, and that's where the Alpha Vedic community comes in. We have all been born for these wonderful but tenuous times, and it is no random event that has brought us all here together. On this episode, we're going to give you a glimpse into the AV Spagyrics lab. Here we are to discuss the alchemical arts beyond the confines of the pioneering icons of the past. It would do grave dishonor to our predecessors if we did not take it upon ourselves to further the great work and realize the destiny they visualized on the near horizon. So we're going to kind of wing it today a bit as always and have a free flowing conversation and actually give you guys a little bit of tour of the lab. I'm going to walk around and give you a little more of a 360 view of what's going on in here. And Bear, that's something that we stress with Alpha Vedic. It's because there's something I do see sometimes in the freedom space is people tend to have this romantic notion about the past. And I think it's super important to have honor the past and the great traditions that obviously the conventional systems like to hide and dismiss because there's obviously great wisdom in those, but that's not to also demean progression, right? Progression of human consciousness and what we can do to adapt and evolve those great traditions. And that's what we're all about at Alpha Vedic.
Exactly. And, you know, we really have to lose the labels first, I think. We use the term alchemy quite a bit. And of course, in half the population, that conjures up a pejorative of some kind of pseudoscience. I encountered the same thing in my years of bioterrain medicine by being called an alternative. Well, actually, the young upstarts are the AMA. They're the ones that usurped real knowledge, obfuscated things so that they could then sell their wares. And so forevermore, because, of course, their ties to the financiers that have created monopolies and everything, we have to forever be labeled alternative. Real science has to be labeled alchemy. So from now on, I don't want to use alchemy anymore. I just want to use the term science. And maybe if we want to be kind to, you know, the alternative, well, we of course call them scientism, but we can also just say alternative science or alternative medicine when we're referring to the AMA pseudoscience and everything that our audience is well aware of what they're about and being exposed more and more for every single day. So here we are, we're in a real chemistry lab. And the first thing I'd like people to take away is that, to repeat, our whole prototype here is about understanding how every community can have multiple farms, multiple operations in a very small footprint. And if you go into a facility that is resembles a Walmart or some kind of factory situation, right off the bat, you're keyed that they're doing mass producing. And even if they're saying, oh, well, organic this and so forth, you don't have the energetics or the controls that you have when you do small batch. You have to do tens of thousands of units at a time. Most of the companies out there, you know, that are doing good things compared to, you know, other things available, they're still going to mass manufacturing facilities to do their stuff. So they have to do the minimum of 10,000 or a lot more units. And that means they have FDA dating stamps on them to say, okay, we're good for the next 2-3 years. By the time you get it off the shelf or online, then, you know, the stuff was actually manufactured maybe 3-4 years ago. So when you do small batch, not only do you have the assurance that everything is fresh and vital, but we don't even need those FDA kind of approvals and stamp dates, because there's nothing that anybody that can, anything that we put out or people like us that's more than a few months old. So as we tour the lab today, you'll see it's a very economical footprint. It's the same with our business offices across the way on the other part of the farm, our commercial kitchen. Everything is very, just very tight, functional, and there's no frills, but we can do anything better in a very high-tech fashion even than what's doing in these multi-zillion dollar facilities. So, Mike, want to start a tour?
Yeah, indeed. And I mean, just look at what we're doing right here, right now. We're off-grid. We just 10, 15 years ago, you would have needed like a broadcast studio technology to do what we're doing here. So everything's unfolding to allow for decentralization and for this sort of, you know, bottom up, you know, independent sort of creation. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful times we're in to allow us to do this. So, okay, man, I'm going to take my camera. You're going to lose me on the mic. So you're on the audio, sir. And where do you want me to start?
Go over just to our dehydration cabinet first, maybe, and work your way around.
Okay. I've got a long camera.
So that's where everything starts. And you can maybe highlight some of Mark Iver's work that's all done, fabricated from wood that was laying in the fields around here when we moved in.
Shout out to Andy right there, the terrain film with featuring Bear Lando and a bunch of our friends.
So right outside is where everything's growing, and things are harvested at different times throughout the year. A lot of people know our signature crop. You know, we're just coming out of winter, so we'll give you a walking tour around the whole farm someday soon. You're not going to be able to see much from here, but you'll see walls of trellises of Jiao Gulan going around the acreage. So we're really the first ones that have grown this in large scale in North America that I know of. And I've done this for years, even at our prior farm. So I've got a handle on, you know, what this plant personality likes and doesn't like. So we grow really good specimens. And also a year ago, we started more of a large scale Schizandra production, and they're over on another part of the farm in another area. And those are going gangbusters. Now we've got herbs all over the place, you know, growing. But as far as really producing large amounts of a single herb, we, again, take our time, cultivate one area at a time. So if you open up the doors there, as soon as we harvest something, we bring it right in here. This is a big drying rack, and you can see it's good size. It's not like one of those little dehydrators you have for the home. And it allows us to take fresh herbs and dry them very quickly without losing any vitality. And then from there, they go immediately into our products. So it's always nice and fresh. You're not shipping things from China or Thailand or something like that. So that's our...
Look at the wood. I mean, it's all refurbished and, you know, this isn't bought from Home Depot.
Yep. We make use of everything. And then if you go over there to those shelves there, Those are made out of big planks of redwood that we found in an adjacent field over on our property. And we just salvaged them, replaned them, and then made beautiful shelves out of them. And in our packing, processing shed across the way in our commercial kitchen, you'll see everything made out of the same kind of wood. And if you look up at the ceiling there, those were at one time a neighbor's fence. So we like to do things kind of artistic around here as well. And it's really kind of cool. That's a bit of charm and also cuts down on material. So if anybody wants to start doing something like this, don't just go down and buy new stuff, repurpose, salvage, and make use out of what's already available. And you'd be amazed if you go to there's local stores. We have a couple here in South Oregon that they have what they call them building supplies, but it's all salvaged from old stuff. And there's just amazing things sitting around on people's property everywhere. And in Europe, especially in rural Italy, where most of my family's from, and the other part is from Peru, they don't go to Home Depot. They're all craftsmen. They're amazing artisans as far as doing stonework, woodwork, and they do exactly what we're doing here. So we're just trying to bring a little bit of old world know-how and just sensibility back to things. So yeah, you might have to.
Well, what's going on over here with these
Oh, okay.
jars?
So each of those jars, the ones that are labeled so far, have different things that I've already tinctured and they're ready to go so that I can make final formulas. And when we get to some of the technology, we'll explain how we do that. Those silver containers there have liposomal herbal tinctures and mushroom tinctures. It's very time consuming to fill all of these things up. And so what I do is all the base ingredients that I need in the products and most of these that you're looking at are for a whole new product line that we're going to release, most likely for members only. Sorry. But that'll assure that our members have something very special to look forward to. So I've been working diligently on getting all of these ready and all of these so that we can just start putting things together. Those little apothecary jars, we take a little extra expense in buying that nice violet Myron glass because it not only keeps things more fresh, but it actually energizes in a way so that if I have some herbal ingredients or those I mostly have like propolis and resins and things like that in there, it keeps them very fresh and vital. So, we're very careful the way we store things. Down there on the ground, you'll see some, those are some more recent oil infusions. And with those oil infusions, we let them soak a long time. Those are going to find their way in some herbal salve products. They're also going to find their way into some of our oil pulling products that it's going to be a companion to our tooth serum. And we don't just let those soak. Those are nice and strong as they are. But in the very end process, before I press them in our herb press and drain out the plant matter, I sonicate it one last time so it breaks up the cell walls of everything that's left in there and makes them much, much stronger than if you just let them infuse. So we'll get around to that in a minute. And then those urns on the bottom there. There's a lot that we have that isn't in this lab because we go back and forth between our kitchen with some things. But those are where we do a lot of our just kind of herbal ferments and things as well. So, anything
See
else you see there?
oregano, see comfrey, mugwort. Are any of these herbs wildcrafted or were found on the land?
Yeah, some are wildcrafted, some are what we grow, and then some are from very trusted suppliers that I've known for years, and they're all local. From farms here in Southern Oregon, so that again we aren't importing from far off. And I know the farmers personally. What I can't grow my here myself here, I know what they're doing, and I know I'm getting a fresh crop. So all good stuff. And
This thing.
So that, yeah, you can start there and work our way back around behind me here. So kind of give a little bit of a higher view on that. So that is a double, that's 20 gallons there, and it's a double jacketed, double prepare slow stir that homogenizes oils. And that is where I make herbal salves. So I fill the jacket up and I can heat it up to a low temperature so that it's not going to be hot enough to ruin the vitality of any of the ingredients, but at the same time, warm enough so that it can homogenize things like beeswax and the herbal infusions and resins that will make their way into our herbal salves. And so that's a very important piece of equipment there. And just with one single run there in that tank, I can make hundreds of units of salve. And oh, if you look up on the wall, see those posters above there? A good friend of mine from Portugal drew all those. It would be great if we'd get a better shot of those, but that has every alchemical symbol and esoteric sort of bit of information all included on two posters, and they're brilliant if you get in there and study. That basically is each one of those is like an encyclopedia if you know how to decipher them. So pretty cool. And those shelves, just a lot of stuff. And then, you know, we've got our dehydrator over there in the corner because we, you are not dehydrator, but our distiller, because we need to use distilled water a lot, you know, in a lot of the things we make. That's our herbal press there. Through the window, you can see outside, that's our personal little vegetable garden and orchard. And again, we're just coming out of winter, so everything, you know, is just starting to bud out there. It's going to look really lush and green here in just the next few weeks. So, check, just look in all those little, we have nice little sinks there. We'll just kind of slow down. Yeah, there's our herbal press. That allows us to just really get all the goodies out of the things after we soak, tincture, infuse. I got some great little hardware, yeah, everything we do here, we try to make artistic. So I found this guy that makes great fixtures out of copper in Romania. So that's in my sink there. And we've got a couple sinks in here. And that stand there that you're looking at, that is our overhead homogenizer stir. And I use that quite a bit with things that I make. That just happens to be in the other building right now. So you're just looking at the stand behind there. You know, you've got all sorts of, those are buckets of freshly picked Jiao Gulan down there on the floor. We use Yeti buckets because they breathe and then also keep everything fresh inside. Don't steal any of my Jiao Gulan there, Mike. And it smells so good and everything. Guaranteed you won't see anything like that online. And so we got buckets and buckets. And move over slowly from where that homogenizer stand is, that blue thing in the corner. That's one of our sonicators. I'm in the middle of getting a larger one, but this one allows me to sonicate a gallon of things at a time. Now, this has a little story involved if people don't know what ultrasonification is. And this gets into our understanding of alchemy that we always talk about. Now, I was schooled in, you know, stuff that's handed down from the 16th, 17th century, all essential knowledge. And of course, maybe we'll come back to that as we're talking here, Mike.
Yep.
Those are transitional gold crystals. Those have another story I'll tell you about.
Can I snort these?
No, you can't. It's going to be a lot more expensive than the other things that people snort.
Okay, we'll get into the sonicator. We're going to go deep into that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that there is just a that's where I do hot water decoctions. And you know, if you go online, you'll see mushroom tinctures and things, you know, good stuff. And they say dual extraction, and they talk about how they you know, do dual with alcohol water or hot water decoction. And they say, well, you know, the hot water does destroy some of the things in a mushroom, for instance, but it gets the most important things out. So who cares if you get some of the other goodies that are destroyed? I use that hot water decoction container there only for certain things, but when it comes to the mushrooms and other vital herbs, I sonicate, and we'll get back to that in a minute, because we believe in keeping the entire full spectrum nutrition, all the elements intact, and we don't need to destroy one thing to get another. So that's where alchemy can be brought to a little bit of a higher technology kind of perspective. Now, what you're looking next to it is that's a distiller, that copper piece there, and that's just old-fashioned distilling. If all else fails, Mike and I can start moonshining here and do very well. So next to it there, that round silver, and that has many uses. I can
It's an amazing bomb, too.
yeah yeah that is modular. I can distill, do a lot of things on there. But if you get a close-up on the middle part there, that's set up for socks extraction. And that little mesh in there, you fill with herbs, and then the bottom is filled with the solvent. And then it refluxes over and over and over into the herbs, and then drops the higher saturation of what's in the herbs into the bottom as it keeps distilling back and forth. And then when the herbs are spent, then you take it out and you put fresh herbs in there so you can keep making as strong as you want. The drawback with that is if things can get hot, and again, you might lose a little vitality of certain things. When I use that, I actually hook up a vacuum so that I can create heat or create the distillation process through the condenser that Mike's showing you there, with less temperature. But still, you need to be careful. But all these pieces of equipment allow me to do different facets of old school alchemy. And old school alchemy means you take something, you separate the parts into the three classic parts that we talk about in alchemy or science, and then we purify them, then we put them all back together in an elevated whole. So we're kind of using some of those techniques when appropriate, but mostly we're moving to using sound waves, and I'll explain why. Now, this that you're looking, can you get a little better view over there? This is called a roto vape, and a lot of this is pretty basic equipment that some of you are probably pretty already aware of. You got to bear with the cameraman here. So the roto vape, it's a distillation apparatus, but as you can see in here, when the motor's turned on, that's in a hot water bath that creates the heat. And then that allows the distillation process, but it keeps going around so nothing is burnt. It just keeps revolving the fluids around, and then goes through the distillation process through the condenser and everything else you're seeing on that side. RotoVape is a very basic piece of equipment that any kind of herbal lab should have. And on the wall, right over here on this side, that's just our mesh work there, because when I'm doing a lot of other kinds of work with the other equipment, basic, like short chain distillation, things like that. And you see a little spigot coming out of the wall. That's ice cold water that comes out of there. So I have tubes connected to the condenser, so when the hot vapors rise and they meet that cold temperature that's provided by that circulating water from that spigot, and then it recondenses and drops down into the distillation tank here. And so if I, for instance, even sonicate something and make a very strong solution, I might want to concentrate it even more, and I'll do that through a distillation where we just evaporate a large portion of the original solvent so that you're left with a much stronger distraction in the original unit over here. So this is just pretty much basic herbal chemistry 101. Let's go to the sonication. When we talk about alchemy, we talk a lot about ethers. And there's a lot of different names for the ethers that we talk about all the time on our episodes. And it's easier to understand them in terms of Western chemistry and understand that the other elemental names given to them by the old school practitioners really means hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, carbon. And we'll take that to another level too. But what that does is it describes the four-tiered ether system that actually precipitates matter from electricity. And as we also speak on often, electricity comes from one thing and one thing only, and that is pure consciousness having an idea. And then that idea creates, of course, an electrical event that then creates a polarity or a resonance that then has to go through the following ether. So it starts with electricity, then it goes down in the atmosphere, if we want to talk about etheric, into the nitrogen. That creates a coagulating effect of those electrical resonant fields. And then from there, it goes into the next water or oxygen level, and you have a fermentation that happens. Fermentation in old school alchemy is actually means to digest. In other words, if you think about it as consciousness with information, information is goes through the next phase of coagulation, and then that coagulation of information, or what we would call in terms of toroidal field compression, it's the next level of compression of data. Then that compression of data needs to be digested so that it can then be precipitated into the final south pole of the carbon or the salt level, as the old school alchemists called it. Now, with ultrasonication, we're talking about sound waves. So what we're doing is we're jumping right to the sound ether, or what they call the chemical ether, which is synonymous with the water level. And many people speak on water. We've had great guests that, do a lot of experimentation with water. And water is the transmitting utility from the ethers above into the final south pole, where we precipitate matter and have our experience and see everything around us that we experience. So this final carbon level really is just the final precipitation of what's happening on the water. So ultrasonification, because it is pure sound waves, it does a couple of things. If I were to put a solvent, like just distilled water, for instance, into one of those big beakers with a certain amount of herbal matter, and I do very strong tincturing where it's 2 to 1. So that means that there's a high density of herbs per solvent. So there's just that much more saturation you're going to get. It's a little more expensive, but you get more goodies in it. Now, ultrasonification, because it's not relying on months of, say, sitting in an alcohol or a water solvent, or both, taking turns and then maybe going through a final hot water decoction in a very short while, in fact, in minutes, depending on what you're doing, that those sonic waves, ultrasonic waves, break apart all the cellular walls and release everything on the instant, all the plant minerals, all the, like, say, in the case of mushrooms, you have all the heteropolysaccharides, the beta glucans, all the things that people know are what's good for you in mushrooms, but you do it with no heat and you do it very quickly. And there are many, many studies that any of us can go online and see now where they compare classic tincturing methods with solvents compared to ultrasonification. And the ultrasonification makes things extremely much more potent. It releases a lot more. And again, you can do everything at a low temperature so nothing gets destroyed. When I do an ultrasonification, I put the beaker in an ice bath, and then I have a temperature gauge that I'm reading on the unit that you can see in the corner there. And it tells me the temperature all the time. So I get a very strong tincture. Nothing's lost in the process. And then when we're done with that, we press it in the herb press that you saw over there. And then I'm going to use the homogenizer first, which is in the other building right now. And I'm going to put in a liposomal mixture and homogenize that with the tincture that I just got from the ultrasonification. And then as it's kind of homogenized, then I'm going to hit it with about 3, 4 minutes with the ultrasonification, which is going to break up all the, in my case, I use sunflower lecithin, all organic, and it creates nanoparticles of lipids that that then bind to all, let's just say we're doing the mushrooms. It binds to the heteropolysaccharides and the beta glucans, so everything, and all the other nutrition that's lost in other kind of decoction methods. And it binds them into these nanoparticles. So when you take them, and a lot of people are aware of liposomes, but you know, there's a good way to do that and a not so good way. A lot of people just do homogenization, which you get some effect, but you, if you don't do the ultrasonification, then you don't get those ultimate liposomal products that actually go right through the cell. A lot of people explain the process of better absorption with liposomal by talking about cell membranes, but we also know the classic science of cell membranes that I learned in medical school is off too. There's really no such thing as sodium, potassium pumps and all this kind of, that's all theoretical. And when you know how cells really work, this liposomal process would actually make more sense, but that's a little above the discussion level of this talk.
Explain liposomal again, just for the layman.
Liposomal, let's just say you get some vitamins, okay?
Like vitamin C.
Yeah, that's a real popular, right? Everyone wants liposomal C because they've been told, you know, on the internet that it absorbs better, and it does. So you can take 500 milligrams of liposomal C and it'll do probably what 2 grams of just regular C would do. It's going to have that much more of a potent effect. So what you do is you take, for instance, if you take a beaker of water and throw some oil in it, the oil is just going to separate on top. However, if you ultrasonicate it, it breaks up the oil into nanoparticles so that they're actually not just suspended, but homogenized in the water. And they stay that way. They don't settle out. And
so they're soluble.
Yeah, they become water soluble. And so these water soluble lipid nanoparticles actually encapsulate what you're mixing them with in the ultrasonification process. Let's just say it's vitamin C. Now that vitamin C is bound in those nanoparticles, it's going to find its way into the nooks and crannies of your body much more readily. And it's also going to absorb into tissues that might be more prone to liking, you know, water soluble versus fat soluble or vice versa. But now it gets into all the tissues of the body.
And it makes sense when you're relating. Well, it's funny. I'm thinking of creation and the word, right? And sound as the creative aspect of the reality here. It's in all the ancient texts, and we're literally using sound to recreate and to bind and to formulate. So it seems like a very obvious means of recreating this stuff to me.
Right. Now, authentic alchemy, of course, it was considered a spiritual practice of sorts because practitioners in the process would mimic natural processes in nature and also find out that that's the way their whole being works within themselves in the first place. You know, as above, so below, know yourself, you know, the universe, all that kind of good stuff. And so something very special happens to your consciousness when you're in the lab doing these sort of things. That's called the great work. So you can't just read a book and get the same effect in your personal being without doing it yourself. However, if you are using more of a high-tech process, like throwing in some new technologies like ultrasonification and some other things we'll talk about, then you're getting another whole element that can be imbued with consciousness in different ways that can maybe even surpass some of the old school ways, not at all throwing out the baby with the bathwater, because there is a time and a place for everything. And depending on what I'm making, I'll use different kinds of technologies, old and new. But when you're a consumer and you're using these processes, even though you're not in a lab doing it yourself, you're going to benefit from the energetic properties that are properly instilled if they're manufactured in such a way where it's not just a mass production kind of effect. Somebody, you know, paying somebody so much money to create 10,000 units where it's just all mechanized with no soul in it at all. So we can talk about our new line of products briefly. I don't want to give too much away, but any questions so far?
On the traditional alchemy, you're separating the salt, right, and the sulfur, and they're doing that through fire. And I know that with the crucible, and there's obviously an amazing skill that comes into play with fire, and we know fire is sort of the primordial element. It's what initiates reality. So I'm just curious if by sort of with the fire, I know a lot of, like you were saying, it can be harsh, right? It can burn. It can be a little bit more distorting. Is that what I'm getting at versus sound? I'm still trying to wrap my head around using sound instead of fire.
Well, fire, the way you're describing it, would be more for the end calcination process, where you take the spent herbs after the other two initial processes and deliberately calcinate them to recover the salts. You put them through a distillation process, and then you have the salt crystals. So fire on that level of heat that you're describing has a time and place and can be of value. But the fire element that we're talking about that initiates the whole process would be better understood if you go into the waveform mechanics as described by Walter Russell. And he is the first true scientist that actually demonstrated the existence of a creator. The fact that, yeah, you know, the Big Bang thing is kind of a, you know, kind of farcical. But through his understanding, he demonstrates there is actually a higher intelligence behind this whole thing. Surprise, surprise. So he also said that this is a thought-based universe. And so when the old alchemists were talking about the fire element, they were talking about electricity. And that electricity, to repeat, is initiated with a thought bubble. But the thought bubble has to then, you know, have the information in that thought be transmitted in through a resonance, which is where the polarity, looking for the right word, just the polarity that is this has to, you know, follow the electrical vector that's created in the first place by thought. That's a resonance, just like plucking on a guitar string. Then
vibration.
Then that electricity then again goes through the nitrogen, or what we call the air element. And then that's where the, in Walter Russell's understanding, more from waveform mechanics and toroidal field, it goes through more of a centripetal further compression, which we would liken in a lab as a coagulation. And that's further compressed through the water element or oxygen that's you know, paired with that level. And then that creates a fermentation. In other words, a digestion of the information. Just like in our body, the same thing happens. You eat some food, it goes through the same processes. And when it gets to the part of the body that we would liken to fermentation or the digestion, it's the small intestines. Now, the small intestines are going to be the final discernment process, where it's going to, after it, you know, goes through the fire of the stomach, then all the nutrition, the elements that the body needs, the small intestine, and through that just inspection process, is going to say, okay, we could use this, we don't need this, and it's going to pick out exactly what's necessary for the body. And then the what's not necessary or extraneous organic matter and things that are not useful is going to be passed down to the final process and eliminated from the body. So same thing in a laboratory, or you know, what we're talking about, the whole precipitation cycle. You're talking about that water element is the digestion, the discernment of the informational fields that are useful for the final compression that are going to precipitate into matter. Now, here's something to chew on here. We live in a day and age where we have an understanding, more and more people are getting there, that precipitation can happen on the instant. Now, all the things that the early alchemists taught us about the ethers and the different levels of etheric function that we're trying to describe here, you don't have to go through all those middlemen, because we are unlimited creators that can precipitate direct from universal. For instance, if I need maybe some money, I might go out and get a job. And of course, that's kind of a crude way to, all right, you put in some hours, you get a paycheck, and now that money then can be a transmitting utility to go to the grocery store and do stuff. But that was never the original design for us, we are like ascended masters intended to precipitate directly from universal. So alchemical laboratory science was to first help us understand all the functional parts to get there. And now we find ourselves in a laboratory situation where we can jump right to the water element, or what we call the sound ether also. And that was a name not given by recent people, but by people way back when. They called it the sound or the chemistry ether, and just kind of jump right to the final digestion of informational fields right before they precipitate. But what we're doing is we're getting closer and closer and closer through these processes to have the light bulbs come on in our own being, so that we do not have to toil or be beast of burden to provide for our needs. And that goes with healing our bodies or having perfect forms that don't age and that are disease-free. Because with that understanding, it automatically eliminates the fears, the time lapses, and all the opinions of experts, so that we can cut right to the chase and have any form in our body, any level of function, you know, without having to spend hours in the gym like I used to in my youth. And the old martial artists, of course, did the same thing. They learned how to animate their body from the inside out rather than to use their pure muscular external faculties like we used to, you know, playing combative sports that eventually wear you out, you know, create joint problems and everything else. But if you learn how the energy is under your direction and intention all the time, then not only can you do everything you need to do in the external world without destroying and aging yourself, but you can also heal things at the same time, because that energy is going to renew every single part that the energy moves through with whatever you have to do.
Like our good buddy Raymond Grace does on the daily.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just kind of cuts to the chase and doesn't even talk about all this crap. He just does it.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's just a reminder that there are these overlying planes that we can't necessarily quantify through traditional, as Bear was opening up with, this alternative science or quack science or pseudoscience, because they rely on supposed photons to quantitate stuff. But the true alchemists understood that these overlays, these other frames of existence, are there, and the ether is the connecting utility that allows us to engage with these. So the internal work really taps into something that we can do as co-creators, and what the machines that they have don't. But these analog, some of this analog technology we can talk about today, Bear, actually does tap into those fields. Like I'm looking down here at some of these cool doodads. Of course, we've had the gentleman who made these on AlphaCast a while ago, Fertile Current Bro. And yeah, this is cool, man. Look at all these wonderful devices you have here.
Yeah, we have, as we've demonstrated in Instagrams and things, and even on podcasts, we have electroculture in every single growing area on the farm here. And all you're doing is speeding up the precipitation process by bringing in that original element from the fire element, the electrical level of the ether, directly into the ground and making it more readily available and more abundant for the rootlets of plants. And, you know, we can apply this kind of information for anything.
I was just going to say, you know, and I know you started reading Percival a bit, and he explains this in terms of elementals, but it's, I think, important to also realize how powerful our thinking is, and how that thinking is transmuted, or excuse me, translated through this utility of the ether, and how that literally, by using this kind of technology, we're not only just transmitting the ethers, but our thought forms too. So like our intention, right? Deep right into the soil for growing the food in the way that we want. I think, you know, like that sounds like traditionally mystical, and religions tried to explain that, but that is science, right? Like literally we are the transmuting utility in the end, in the way that we think and how we translate our thoughts into reality.
And it is our job as transmitting utilities to bring this knowledge in free ourselves from all the BS that we've been indoctrinated in. So the pure etheric energy and the original blueprints come in unadulterated. They don't have to go through a prism of crap and then create distortions on the ground. The more we understand how things work, that's why I always talk about we live in a functional realm. Wouldn't it be kind of dandy if we learned how things work so that we can do our job here? And we wouldn't just be sitting around right now like most of humanity waiting for the other shoe to drop. An important concept, I think maybe even paramount beyond anything Walter Russell taught, was the role of the inert gases. Now, the inert gases are things like neon and xenon and argon and krypton. Now, those...
Argon?
That's that one's argon. We'll just talk a little bit about these. Now, these create a 30-foot circumference. We showed these a little bit last time.
And I'm vibrating over here, man. I got the helium.
So what we do is we highly compress these gases, and these gases don't dissipate. Now there's a magnetic device in here that actually radiates the whole field of these particular gases. Now the gases, Walter Russell described them as Akashic records. Now, if we were to learn high school chemistry properly, we wouldn't have been looking at a one-dimensional map of elements on this square table. We would have understood that there's a spherical cycle that goes round the bend full circle, and then it jumps an octave, and then you have the next level of elements, and then the next level of elements, and each one of those is an octave. So now we're starting to get clued in to the fact that, oh, this final transmitting utility we call the water or the oxygen element is actually sound. It's all about sound. So these octaves, each one of them have loosely seven tonal fields within each octave. Now we happen to inhabit the fifth octave. Not really, but what I mean is carbon-based life forms rely heavily on the carbon or the fifth octave. Now, if you think of things in a waveform, and don't let this stuff seem complicated because it really isn't. So if you look at a waveform in a textbook, you know, you have kind of an upward curvature, then it peaks, and then it goes down into a downward trough. Think of somebody surfing on a wave. You know, that's all you're doing. That's why I love surfing so much. And Mike does too. So when you get to the peak of the wave, that is the most stable part of the wave. It's like a tent pole in the middle of the tent holding it up. If you go into the fourth carbon octave, carbon is the most stable midpoint of that peak. In fact, it's the most stable of all the other octaves because it's complete in and of itself. It doesn't need to conjugate with other elements like sodium chloride and so forth in order to become a stable compound. It's actually complete in itself. And that has special significance when you understand that we are carbon-based in our physicality. So you have lithium, barium, boron on one side of the peak, and then you have carbon, then you have oxygen, nitrogen, fluorine on the other side. And all those have special significance. But if you look at on this side of carbon, you have the levels of the ether. You have oxygen, you have nitrogen, and so forth. Now, in order to get into that octave, you have to get through a portal, and it's called an inert gas. The portal for our octave, so you can jump from the fourth into the physicality of the carbon octave, is helium. And I have a helium over there.
How funny, helium. What's powering our stream today?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe Elon's onto something here.
Wow, that makes so much sense that the physical, and we're not talking about like 4D into 5D. We're not talking about dimensions here, right? I think that's an important.
There's only three dimensions.
Yes. And in the physical world that we inhabit, carbon is, that makes so much sense. That is the grounding tent pole of reality. It's interesting. I was talking to Matt Presti at Anarchapoco about the sun, and he was saying that Walter Russell basically says that the sun is carbon, made of carbon.
And the core, whatever you think the shape of the earth in, is in, it doesn't matter, is carbon. And that's how water is a biotic, in other words, an inner creation of our plane, of our earth. So we don't just get water from it precipitating down on our heads when it rains. It's also being made all the time in that carbon core of the earth, and that's what you call primal water. And we just happen to have a lot of primal water in the hillsides squirting out all the time over here in the abundant springs where we live. It's wonderful. Yeah.
So when you're talking about these other portals like Argon, what was the one that you said helps, and this makes sense, like helps with lucid dreaming and things and going into these other realms?
Well, let's talk about that. So if you look at helium as a portal, and let's kind of ground in that idea of a portal, because that sounds probably a lot woo-woo like to a lot of people. What happens when you plant an apple seed? Do you really think an apple tree grows from an apple seed because everything that mature tree that's bearing fruit gets what it needs from that seed? No, the seed is an etheric portal. It is a conduit for the informational fields that are the oversoul of that particular botanical species. And so those are informational fields that exist in the creator's original idea. Mm-hmm. Now that seed then is a portal. It's the Akashic. So when you germinate it, then it is able to access the informational fields and grow into a full fruit-bearing mature seed. Helium is no different. You can't get to the fifth octave from the fourth octave until you have the informational fields. And in old esoteric terms, they called that Akashic.
Yeah.
I don't even prefer that language anymore.
Yeah. So basically, there's a form that is in another plane that is the memory that it's accessing, and the physicality that is growing out of that is actually a cool example of levity too, right? The tree going up as a contrast to gravity.
And Goethe and Steiner did a great job writing tons of stuff on that.
So yeah, I love this idea and I want to play more with this technology. And we are talking a lot about technology today. And of course, technology is just another way of human creative expression, right? In art, it's not anything to be feared or to be seen as in any sort of negative or positive thing. It's just how it's being used. But we always do stress that the human bio machine here, that this awesome biocomputer that we get to inhabit, our consciousness inhabits, our breath form or soul or whatever you want to call it, is one of the greatest technologies in the realm. And so, Bear, there were some questions here in terms of transmuting and all this cool tech you have in here. There's two questions. One, how can people go about transferring their herbs? And we'll get more into spagyrics. I'd like to get more into your spagyrics process. But how can people that can't afford all this fancy technology do this at home in a way that would be economical? And then two, we've touched us on this a bit, but how can we do just transmutation and stuff through our bodies alone without requiring something like these, you know, devices?
Hang on one second.
Oh, we got a message from, okay. So yeah, and I think these are really important questions because I'm a huge fan of, and we've done podcasts on this, like our own ability through our own bodies to do most of this.
Okay, sorry, I just got a note pinned on the door about some farm duties that need to be done right after the episode here. Okay, so we'll try to answer that question in a second. So the transmutation process, if you understand Walter Russell's periodic table of elements through the octaves and the tonal fields within the octaves. Every new octave has a portal. Now, we're in the fourth one because we are trying to create a simulation of what we think of as physical. Carbon just happens to be the most stable element, which is simply a transmutational cycle of another element that, finally went through that octave and became carbon. So carbon's going to keep moving through the octaves and become something else. But right now, in this moment, we're using that tonal field within that octave in order to create the what we think of as the stability, the snapshots of a movie of physicality. Now, in order to jump from the fifth to the sixth, we're going to need to go through a different portal. Now, what does nature do? When you go all the way up into the highest octaves, the elements become radioactive. Now, that has a great purpose because those radioactive things, even though we think they're harmful, and they are if you're in a physical simulation and your consciousness has not grown beyond that. And that's why we're like children playing with fire, literally, when we're trying to mess with nuclear radiation, because our consciousness cannot handle it yet, and nor can our physical structures. But it's not harmful by nature, and it has a place. Those radioactive elements that go through those octaves stay deeper in the ground in order to digest other minerals that make themselves, finally available at the Earth's surface and available to plants so that we can bring them in, because those mineral elements are capacitors and receive the resonant fields, informational fields from the sky clock above us, that then the cells of our body, when we take those minerals into ourselves, then have all the blueprints and things so that the cells can make all the body parts function the way they're supposed to function. So if you don't have all this equipment and everything, no problem, because remember, we're talking about you can do everything on the instant and you don't need to do any of this stuff. The reason why I like to do it is I just like to tinker. It's kind of my hobby. And also, it's the way that we can demonstrate how this realm actually functions. But anybody sitting in an apartment in the middle of a city somewhere can have the light bulbs come on and not have to go through all these steps.
And we're also providing products to the world as a business, as a means of expressing our various talents and everything we do here. And so we're not generating products for specifically just for us through our consciousness. We're going through using this technology to offer products to the whole world. So we want to use the very best technology and the very best that is out there so that we can ensure that our products are of the highest quality. And that's not to say you can't do that in your own kitchen, but it makes life I think a lot easier, right? To be able to do this in that sort of quantity too that we want to do it in the quality.
Yeah, and as in the science of biogeometry, and also what Walter Russell demonstrated, is that there are two sides to the scientific equation, that is quantification and qualification. So qualitative, if you don't have that, then there's no juice for the quantitative to even exist in the first place. You can't have one without the other. One demonstrates what the other's doing, and the other allows, the ability to precipitate. So you have to have both sides. So science, as we've been taught, the way I was taught in school, is one side of the equation, which brings you into these kind of asinine notions of the Big Bang, and that we're these little stick figures, and we're still trying to figure out where energy comes from. And maybe if we just blow shit up more, we can find energy inside of something and use that somehow, which is why we're actually, there's a great movie, is called The Emerald Forest, and the indigenous in the South American forests, called the interlopers from the outside, the termite people, because they're in there with their dozers and, just tearing the earth up and trying to extract things and build things. We don't have to do that. If you understand what Walter Russell again proved out, then all you need to do is understand how to recreate that particular waveform. That waveform, then, with the technology that exists to this day, can be parlayed into physical production, that would end up coming out of a 3D computer once in between steps got the waveforms into a place where you could create on the spot. We don't need to dig stuff up out of the earth. We don't need to destroy our ecology in order to do it. And of course, all the new greeny stuff is actually just bringing us more into the destructive side of things in the name of ecology. So
keep buying your Teslas, people. Go ahead.
Yeah. Crazy. So if you look at, you know, you brought up dimensions and we said, well, there's only three dimensions. That's XYZ axis. Yeah. If you know a little bit about sacred geometry, cube is kind of like the basic thing. And if you interject your consciousness, it can create a three-dimensional experience inside that cube. That idea creates the electrical vector that polarizes, creates that spiral polarization, a waveform inside of a six-sided cube, creates spirals that then go out and meet other spirals and create composites that end up precipitating into the simulation here.
Yeah, and that's a great point, too, that it is a collaborative process. The spirals need to connect with other spirals. And so it's important that we're all here working on this together. And that's a great question, though. You know, and the more active you guys can be compelled in your own kitchen and growing your own herbs and doing your own spagyrics or tinctures, I think that's powerful medicine. We've stressed that always. Like, the most powerful medicine is the medicine you make yourself. And it's definitely better than grabbing a bottle of allopathic pills from, you know, your local drugstore.
There's vitamins and then there's vitamins. And I'll just give you a tea.
There's a big controversy about vitamins, by the way. There's like a whole thing on our Telegram that vitamins aren't our thing.
Okay, so I'm releasing six new products to our members. I'm not going to describe each one, but I'll describe what each one has. First off, they are a complete assay of vitamins. Those vitamins are extracted aqueous, low temperature, full spectrum of what occurs in seven primary herbs. I wouldn't even go through all that. So you have plant-sourced full-spectrum vitamins. So you'll see on our new labels all that information, and you'll be able to see as per what the FDA makes you list relative to, you know, daily requirements and things, what kind of percentage you're getting of each of the, you know, A, B, D vitamins and so forth. So they're plant-sourced. They aren't pharmaceutical. That's a big deal. Now, I take those plant source vitamins, those concentrates, aqueous extracts, and I take a pure liquid fulvic medium. Fulvic minerals are what's pre-digested plant material over long periods of time. We have the best source in the U.S., you know, as far as purified, third-party tested, nothing bad, no heavy metals, all that kind of stuff. And I homogenize the plant source vitamins in that fulvic medium. Okay, so we put that aside.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
How do you verify what the vitamin is? Do you do that through a microscope? Or
we have very high-tech labs. That's beyond what I'm able to do in this lab. Mm-hmm. But I have the people that I've worked with for a long time that have that level of technology, have the related farms that can provide the clean plant material to create those aqueous extractions. And then they can verify the amounts of different vitamins through spectrometry and a few, you know, other ways that are just common, you know, technologies known in normie science. Mm-hmm. So we know if we say there's so many grams of beta carotene, like 45 grams or milligrams is what you'll get in, you know, one of our typical servings, and 1 milliliter of our little 100 cc bottles, you'll get 100 servings. So a little goes a long way because they're so concentrated. Okay, so now you've got that fulvic bound plant source vitamins. That's a third of the formula. We put that aside, and you'll see some of that in some of these bottles and things after we've done the homogenization. Now we take, let's just take a mushroom. Mushrooms are like the neuronal networks of the planet. They transmit information. It's like they're it's nature's grapevine. We'll just call it that. If you take plant species, herbs in this case, are very distinct informational fields or patterns that are part of an oversoul that have a role to play. Just like you and I, Mike, we're different. We have a different essence. We have a different purpose. We're unique in all of the world. And we have an individual soul. Now, plant species, you can get out there and maybe look at my Jiao Gulan. That's all the plants, all the Jiao Gulan all over the planet belongs to that same oversoul. That oversoul has an informational field that's unique to that to that species, and it also has a purpose. It has a certain effect in our body. So each of these six formulas are going to be a high potent concentrate of a mushroom paired with an herb. And the way the herb and the mushroom, it'd be a different herb and a different mushroom in each of the formulas, they're paired in a very intelligent way so that they are compatible to achieve a certain function when you put them together. So what I'm going to be, well, what I'm doing is I'll take, say, the mushroom and the herb separately, and I'll do an ultrasonification of each one. So now I'm left with a very potent tincture, we'll say, of that particular species. Now I, press it, get rid of the extraneous plant matter. Depending what I'm doing, I might keep that and calcinate it. And it depends. Sometimes it's a good idea, sometimes it's extraneous. Because a lot of those salts are released in the ultrasonification too. So it might be extraneous. All right. So now I take that that tincture, that high concentrated tincture, and then I'm going to homogenize it with sunflower lecithin, which is going to create a nice homogeneous mixture. Now I'm going to ultrasonification it to make the nanoparticles. So now that that mushroom, all those goodies, as we already explained, are bound in liposomal capsules, so to speak, then the same thing with whatever herb. And then at the end, we put the mushroom, the herb, and the fulvic, the natural plant source fulvic bound vitamins all together
Wow.
in thirds. And then we homogenize that and do one more quick ultrasonification. So it's all liposomally bound together as a single unit. So now you take 1 milliliter and say on the label, it says, okay, with the plant source vitamins, you're going to get, 50% of your daily, requirement for vitamin C. Well, that's going to go a lot further, because it's in that kind of bound structure. And you're going to get the informational field of the plant, the botanical, that is going to have a certain effect. And you're also going to have that little neuronal messenger that the mushrooms, we talk about the chemical elements and mushrooms that make them so valuable, and there's truth to that, but their real function is that they create that network to decipher all that information of the plant and what's in them themselves and the other things that are in a formula, so that your body can more readily benefit by
They're in a
putting
way
that.
like a transmitting utility.
Yeah, you could say that.
But they're engaging directly with our own internal pharmacopoeia, right? Through our own receptors. And what we're talking about is the information fields, and these are being delivered in a highly compacted and highly just optimal form, so that you just need a little bit to get what would take hours of meditation to get, or hours of grounding, and really, to get those informational fields from nature to trans for your body to transmute. When you're on the go and you want a couple drops, and like, that's amazing. That's what's so cool about creative human innovation, is we can do stuff like this.
So if you want a full spectrum vitamin mineral concentrate, all natural plant source, highly bioavailable, you might say, well, I'm going to the gym today, or I'm, in the middle of 2-a-days. Now I'm doing athletic training. So you might want to reach for our Cordyceps Jiao Gulan formula. Or let's just say you want to do some high level cleansing. You might reach for the one that has turkey tail and Essiac herbs, which are four distinct herbs, which is a good little segue into this. Before our episode, I was out there doing a little wild crafting, so I wanted to do a show and tell. This is what we call sheep sorrel. Now, Essiac tea, there's been a subject of great research and a lot of anecdotal evidence as well that shows that it really helps resolve things that aren't supposed to be resolved, that we're not legally able to resolve, because the name of those things that they resolve that begins with a C has a copyright on it, and you get thrown in jail by infringing on that copyright.
It
So
rhymes with Prancer.
we just call it cleanse, because even in people that aren't suffering from that malady could have a great effect, a cleansing effect, by taking the Essiac herbs. So we go through that same ultrasonification of the four Essiac herbs. Now, the issue is if you buy Essiac tea online, nine times out of 10, the most vital ingredient, sheep sorrel, which is this guy here.
Yep.
You really need to be guaranteed that it has 20% of the root. You know, the mixture has to be 20% roots, because that's where it won't work the same unless it has that percentage of the actual root. So, as luck would have it, we're getting ready to do some landscaping in some of the new sections here, but I won't let anybody doing any weed whacking, because I'm going to be out there harvesting, scads of sheep sorrel, including the roots. I'll wash them, then I'll immediately bring them in here into my dehydration rack. So then when we have the Essiac herb mixture, I can guarantee that there's more than 20% roots of the sheep sorrel, so we know it's going to work better. So what we don't grow here or don't get from some of our trusted partner farmers, I just go out and pick it. And a lot of this I don't even have to cultivate myself. And if you're out there, it has, if you want to wildcraft this yourself, you can see it. It's kind of a spear shape, and it has these little leaves on the bottom. And if you really want to know it's a real thing, I'll let you do a taste
Oh,
test.
yeah.
Just chew it up.
I have a question because I've got some pretty large sheep sorrel. Is it best to get it young when it's like this, or does it matter if it's gotten more mature?
You want it mature enough, but not old.
Well,
So,
this is sweet.
yeah, kind of lemony.
Lemony, yeah.
Okay, now it's sheep sorrel for sure. If you fall off the stool here and something bad happens, we know we picked the wrong thing. Now,
That's
that'll never
delicious. That's
happen.
delicious. Well, and also we have with the coniferous forest here, and actually, there's always a good side to everything in nature. We had these fires that were horrendous last year. You guys were following that, and we evacuation and all that stuff. But with after fire comes mushrooms, so we've got more morels and all these wonder. Mushroom season is already kicking into high gear, and I know a lot of people out there that are stoked this year with the morels. The turkey tail, of course. We got reishi. We've got what else? Also, trumpet, black trumpets. A lot of edibles. A lot of medicinal mushrooms all around us here.
Absolutely. And in the next few weeks, a lot of things are really budding here and everything in the Pacific Northwest. You're going to see all the conifer trees, and we're looking at it, a big forest beyond our little grow scene here. And you're going to notice the tips have these new kind of light green growth on the needles. So what we'll be doing is collecting all those fresh new conifer tips, because those are highly, highly medicinal. And there'll be some things that I'll be making more straight, old-fashioned spagyrics, more old-school technique out of those sort of things. That takes a little more time. So,
Like Doug fir, I mean, even at home, I've done Doug fir and pine oils where I just, and I use those for just applying on for certain things, but doing an actual conifer spagyric, you're talking about?
oh, yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. And one of the most amazing things is Sequoia gigantea, in other words, redwoods, which we just happen to be surrounded by a little bit downstream. Every time I go into town, I go through all the, amazing old growth. Now, you collect the young needles, the new growth this time of year on redwood trees. I've used those for years in my practice, and they have an amazing effect on the hormonal system. Just to replenish kind of the whole yin essence, good for men and women. But yeah, fantastic. The other counterpart, of that kind of, you know, sort of young growth medicine from a tree. If you want to look at the sequoia as the yin element, then the oak, which we have a lot of oak around here in the hills too, that is more the male essence. So Quercus pedunculata, you know, oak and, you know, sequoia and quercus is like the yin-yang axis of the hormonal system of humanity. And if you know how to use both of those and use the new growth every year and make it into a tincture with any of the techniques that we've done here and concentrate it, you've got really, really potent plant medicine.
Yeah, evergreen medicine makes so much sense, right? Wow, this has been such a fun chat, Bear. Where do we want to go next? Is there anything else in terms of your spagyric process? Somebody was asking why you use the liposomal for the process of that, the specific sunflower oil. Why that?
Because it's the cleanest source of liposomal material that we can use that I found. It's better than just using a pure oil. There's not the lipid content is not quite as high as pure oil. So when you ultrasonicate it, it's not only going to you know, provide enough oil to create the process, but also not too much so that the oil imparts some impurities or unpleasant kind of taste. So, you know, this is kind of not unique to myself. You know, a lot of people use organic sunflower lecithin.
A lot of at home, and there's a fear though, Bear, sorry to interrupt, there's a, like this whole thing about seed oils right now and going rancid and all that with the, what's your take on that with this specific seed oil?
Well, again, that is because you're looking at the whole oil. And seed oil, again, take everything with a grain of salt. In fact, I'm writing a post on that right now with that title.
Literally, take some grains of salt, sell salts with that.
Yeah. you don't have to fear seed oils. Now, if you're eating a bag of chips every day, you know, which, you know, those are the kind of seed oils that aren't that good for you. You know, not only are they probably rancid because they've been in a bag for a while, but they've been, you know, deep fried and all the other kinds of stuff. Same thing with grains. It's like, oh my God, grains are bad. Well, how did people used to eat grains? They used to ferment them. So they're predigested. These days we know how to sprout them and make flour out of the sprouted flour. So it digests like a vegetable. The same thing with fermented. You know, we had decades in this country in particular where fast foods came into vogue, you know, when I was a kid in the 50s, where, you know, post-World War II, mom said, oh, this is great, Pillsbury biscuits, you know, and a little thing, all I have to do is take them out, throw them in the oven. Well, you know, basically it's ground, denatured, hybridized flour. And people are still eating that kind of crap. And even stuff you get from the health food store, this whole grain flour, it's just ground up grains. Mm-hmm. Your body has a hard time digesting that. So yeah, some of the evidence that grains aren't the best thing for you, you know, there's some truth to that. And it's because, not because they're bad inherently, or that it's a globalistic, you know, plot to get us away from meat and make us all feminized. It so happens that some of the baddest ass warriors in the world, you know, have a bowl of rice every day. And because they learn how to manipulate their intent, you know, their own energy with their intention, they're doing superhuman feats. So whenever you externalize anything, whether you think vegetarianism is going to do it for you, whether you think carnivorism is going to do it for you, whether you think seed oils are bad, you know, anything, you know, flours bad, grains, then, you know, you're externalizing, you're giving something power over you. And that's where you are failing to understand old school alchemy, where those folks knew that their intention was everything.
Yeah, that and just a disconnection from where your food's coming from to begin with. It's about the quality of the food source. And most people think that they can trust labels at Whole Foods versus having a connection with your actual farmer or growing it yourself. Massive difference there. So people are asking here, Bear, a little bit more about the sonificator. do you want to want me to turn it on? I don't know. I thought we covered it a lot, but yeah, here it is again.
Well, that's one. Then we have another building that's for higher volume. This one's pretty good. It has an inch probe on the end, which allows me to sonicate, you know, a good gallon of stuff at a time. You can't turn it on unless it's in some liquid, you know, otherwise you just hear a loud screeching that would be very.
What are the kind of settings and stuff that you apply?
Good question. Good question, because I can set that to different frequency settings. And depending on what I'm trying to achieve, like if I'm trying to break down the cell walls of mushroom versus astragalus root, that's a lot tougher, that sort of thing. That's going to dictate, you know, maybe what setting I want it on so I can effectively extract what I want out of it. Also, I can impart different frequencies by the setting, you know, that I think would be more conducive as far as the energetics. The other thing that we didn't get to with the inert gases, if I want to have something that's very stable in that carbon cycle, then, you know, I might create a periphery during the sonification with helium. Mm. If I want to do a purification, more high-tech style that we talked about in old alchemical procedures, and let's back up for a second. What causes impurity in nature? It's us. It's our aberrant thought patterns and toxic emotions.
Yep.
And because we are master of this realm, or at least we're supposed to be, then what happens is that is imparted to the animal, mineral, and plant kingdom, which if that wasn't happening, we wouldn't be required to take things apart in a spagyrics lab and purify them and put them back together again in the first place. Everything would be perfect already. So if you know how to get into a higher octave by using one of these little portals and maybe create a purification of that plant species from any human qualities that it has taken on just by being cohabitating this planet with us, then you might use an argon krypton kind of
like your Superman.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll do two things. I'll create a peripheral energy field. Again, this will create a radius of 30 feet. But then I have other devices that actually do a concentrated projected beam that has a much more directed focus and effect. So when I'm doing ultrasonification or distillation, any procedure, depending on the effect I want, then I might use those in order to create a further purification. It's only available when elements get to that octave on the periodic spiral, we'll say.
So that machine is literally just vibrating sound?
Just sound waves, that's all.
Sound waves. Yeah. And so you can set it to like 528 or like, is this kind of hertz frequencies
here? Yeah, there's
here?
A whole electronics there that allows you to go in on any frequency you want. And then there's certain frequencies that, again, I know that are going to be more conducive for extraction as well.
Wow. Well, hopefully that answers your question there. Someone's even asking what brand you, people are really nerding out on this. Like
brand
of the sonificator, like what brand do you recommend? And
this one is a good one. And I have it here because I have limited space. There's another one from Germany that I favor, where it's going to allow me to do, you know, more than a gallon at a time. And that's a really great one. It's more expensive. This little unit here is a few thousand bucks. But the one from Germany is going to, you know, it's a lot more. But they're both good technologies and they both deliver the ultrasonification. And don't confuse it with, you know, for instance, when you're pregnant, you get an ultrasound and they say, oh, it can disturb the baby and everything, which is true. This is not imparting anything harmful or anything that's going to distort natural patterns. All it's doing is breaking down the cell wall rapidly so that the innate elements can be released more readily in a low temperature situation and have greater vitality versus having something marinate in a solvent forever or go through heat processes of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that down the line, people are saying this would be a great class. I mean, obviously, we've had plans forever to educate folks on how to do this themselves, and maybe we could convert this, do an online course through the private platform where we do sort of a work online workshop where Bear goes through his process, down the line. And of course, we've in-person workshops as
Yeah.
well.
And there are great chemists out there, very accomplished, and they're, more well, they started, same place I started, and I've learned from a lot of these people over the years. They more rooted in tradition, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just strongly believe that, as we read in our intro today, that each generation's supposed to move the ball downfield. Mike, you and I are great fans of Rudolf Steiner. That doesn't mean that he's the end all, or that he in his lifetime said, okay, humanity is not supposed to progress beyond what I put out there. It's like, no, that's not an evolutionary process. That's not an expansion of consciousness. So
That
if
would be like in sports if everybody was still running the 400 at the same speed and we weren't breaking records. Now I know that we have other issues with that in terms of people cheating, but still there's a progression that we see in sports as a great example, right, of
Yeah.
humanity moving to the next
Yeah.
step.
And Steiner, battled against that with the old Theosophical Society because they did not want him imparting certain knowledge to the masses. And he, through anthroposophical teaching, said, no, humanity's ready for it. And then that was a precursor for the Ascended Master instruction, not the New Agey stuff that came later, but the real authentic stuff that came through Saint Germain and folks like that, where they said, okay, humanity is ready for the simple, unveiled truth. And most of those teachings are centered around direct precipitation because they knew until we got there, humanity would always be dependent or vulnerable to the predator class. And that predator class is really pulling out all stops right now. That's also why we get into lawfare quite a bit, because these same principles we're talking about today are, it's equity, as we, just loosely call what we're getting into on our platform that we, introduced in our last episode, is about the distillation of truth that was handed down through the original founding forefathers of our country. And now that our designed to fail system is failing, the shelf life is, coming to an end, right, as it was designed to do, so that then the next level of slavery could be imposed upon us. We are now supposed to get rid of all that impurity, all that distortion, and go back to natural law, which is what our founders had intended for us in the first place. And if we don't understand how to do that, then we're going to be in a sorry state. So that's why lawfare, that's why plant medicine, that's why bioterrain medicine, permaculture, biodynamic farming, everything we're talking about is all one and the same thing. All one and the same thing.
Beautiful. Yeah. Self-determination, self-governance. It's all there for us. We all have it. We just have to remember how to access it. Awesome. This has been a beautiful chat. Not gonna lie, I'm a bit chilly. My feet are freezing. I'm a barefoot in
Yes, it's
here.
kind of cold in
It's
here, isn't
cold
it?
in here, but that's nice for summertime. It's because it does get quite warm here
Yeah, it
in the
stays
summer.
nice and cool because we got the trees over there. And I plant a lot of Jiao Gulan under the dappled light in the forest there because they don't like direct sunlight. So we've got the tree canopy, we've got all the growing trellises there, way down the other end of the property. I'm putting in some new trellises in the new Schizandra growing area. I'll be doing that this week. So we just constantly expand, and
It's fun.
it's fun.
We're having a good time. And, for those who want to know more about spagyrics and the process, We will continue that conversation on our private platform. If you haven't joined that yet, jump in. You can be anywhere in the world and jump in for as little as $5 a month. I do recommend joining the co-op if you can. That's like $10 a month, $15 a month. And that's at alphavedic.com/join-us, or just go to the website and there's a bunch of links to get you there. We have phenomenal conversations going on, but Bear has started a series on there where he is basically going A to Z through bioterrain, and his knowledge through that, and really as a compendium to answer the slew of questions that he gets on the weekly. It's just going to be a phenomenal sort of download of everything out of his head from his 40 plus years.
It's back to basics.
Yeah.
Because I get these really intricate questions, all awesome questions, but you know, I think most of us overthink things, especially when we're in the 11th hour of some situation, whether it's legal or biological. So we really need to back up. So I just started writing a new post last night, and it's going to just teach people a very simple test that they can do with their urine with two reagents and do it in their bathroom, you know, in the morning with their morning pee, and tell a lot about what's going on, and then maybe even give them hints about things that are the reason why they might need to add a little salt in their water in the first place. Not that that's a bad idea, but there's a reason why that is effective. And maybe if we knew other things, it wouldn't even be necessary.
Then you go ahead and drink your pee. Pamela has asked a great question. Any merch coming soon?
Yeah.
Yes.
We've got some great beanies.
Yeah, we've got Bryden, who is kicking in some new merch. Really excited about it. He's got some phenomenal new designs. So we'll be having some new t-shirts, and I would love to get a new hoodie, and we'll have, beanie and hats. We're getting the trucker hacks back. I'm wearing old, classic Alpha Vedic camo hat here.
I can't find mine. I wish I had one.
But yeah,
we're bringing those back, by the way.
Bringing the camos. Yeah. They're going to be a little different, but they're actually cooler. I think the new ones are cooler.
I like them better.
I'm excited to get some new AV merch. That's something we always like that stuff too. So, and also the new oil pulling product. It came up in Telegram this morning, Bear. Someone was saying that coconut oil doesn't pull. That was news to me. But
so the oil pulling formula, coconut is very good for other reasons. It's a very healing oil. Now, that is going to comprise about 10% of the formula. And the reason why I have it in there is because of the other healing qualities. The main oil is going to be sesame. However, there's three factions of sesame oil, which are infusing as we speak. And these vats down here are full of them that have already been infused. We have echinacea, spilanthes, and neem. So not only is this sesame oil, but it's infused and ultrasonicated with those herbs. And each of those herbs has a different pronounced effect on the tissues of the body, and also that will be absorbed sublingually and help cleanse the entire body as the blood of the body passes through the entire blood every minute through the sublingual capillary network. That's why oil pulling is so effective. And all you'll need is a little teaspoon of this. And so with the sesame oil, with just a little touch of coconut oil homogenized in, and the three infused herbs, it's going to have a much better systemic effect, as well as the effect in the oral cavity. Then it's going to have some resins in it, most notably resin from the mastic tree that's grown in Greece. And in some of my vials there, you'll see those labeled with mastic resin. And in that part of the world, they recognize that mastic resin alone, if you just chew it, because, you know, if you put a little resin in your mouth and chew it, it gets kind of gummy. And it just has amazing effects on your teeth. Plus, because it's going to be suspended in the oil, that is going to also have a systemic effect, which has an amazing effect internally, especially on your digestive system. And also, we'll have some myrrh resin and some bee propolis and some other things that I'm not going to tell you about.
Oh, man, I'm really stoked on that. Fun stuff. So that'll be a nice compendium or companion, excuse me, to our awesome two serum, which you've been also improving.
It's going to be improved again because I'm going to have that. It's going to all the ingredients to have the effect are in there right now. It's amazing. I rely on it myself greatly because I just totally destroyed my teeth just getting hit in the mouth too many times. So that is going to be a little bit homogenized with some other things to make it a little bit richer and to have all the ingredients suspended in, so maybe you won't have to shake it so much before every brushing.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great. I was just saying how great it is to travel with that too. It's just phenomenal. Like when I'm camping at a festival and just be able to put that in your mouth, and then just spit it out. Phenomenal. Any other? And then our Illumin Digest has been a big hit. I really love it. I've
Oh
been
yeah.
just taking it by the spoonful without even just putting it in anything.
It
It's
even
pretty
tastes good, huh?
delicious. And someone asked the Illumin line, good, is it o safe for pregnant ladies? And pregnant men.
Don't get me started on that one. Men, just the main thing for men is they have to be careful what kind of tampons they use.
They've got the pregnant man emoji, right? So it must be real.
So, all the Illumin line, the takeaway with that is it's all from whole food sources. So, make up your own mind, ask your doctor what's right for you and all that. But the question would be like, is it safe for pregnant women to eat food? The gold, there's one formula that I haven't had in stock for a while on purpose. It's Illumin Gold, and that is four key herbs. So it's a whole herb formula, and then it has etheric gold in it. Oh, by the way, let me talk about that for a second. The etheric gold, it's kind of a medium for that, but a full spectrum nutrition with from those four herbs. But now we're fortifying those four herbs with the plant source vitamin concentrates we were talking about. So if you go to our 0 point line and you look at the full spectrum vitamins, now we have a powdered version of that. But then with the new line, again, we're going to have six different versions of all the liquid plant source vitamins and things. Are you snorting up my etheric gold again?
Man, I am seeing specters
Okay,
and angels.
so old school
I'm just gonna snort that stuff.
Ormus gold is an extraction process which works, and I've used it for a long time. Then the extraction myself, where you take like Celtic salt or something, and then you put it through a process with lye and make it reach a certain pH, and then you get all the stuff out, and then you're left with the Ormus gold. It works. I'm working with another gentleman who we're going to have here on a podcast, by the way.
Nice. Is do
And
we have his book?
he has a very unique source of salts from nearby where his very futuristic high-tech facility is. But then from that, they don't just try to precipitate the transitional elements or transitional gold, which I prefer to call it rather than ormus, because it really conforms to how minerals really work. The ormus is those key notes in between the major notes. It's a ceramic state. Ormus kind of connotes the old atomic theory of matter, which is, kind of antiquated, really antiquated. So with this process, they start with that those elements, but then they grow crystals of it. So it's ultra pure and concentrated. And what you're looking at in that jar there is what this gentleman is making for us. And it's just nice, pure white, fluffy, looks very different than the old extraction method. It's way more powerful, a much greater impact on the pineal gland and other things that you would want to take that for in the first place. Mike's trying to poach some here.
You can see it sort of crystally in there.
Yeah. So anyway, that's in all the new products, and we're moving into more of that high tech manufacturing of transitional gold too.
I just took a snort. I'm going to go out of body, so we should probably end this before I leave the
We
plane.
probably should.
Well, very cool. I'm excited to keep expanding the product line, and we take these products. It's not like you know, this is funny, is like literally we do this for ourselves, you know. It's like
and you know, if Mike didn't get me out here doing all this stuff, I'd just be making all this stuff for myself behind the scenes. That's what I do. It's really not a business for me. I got started a long time ago when I was treating people. I'd make little formulas up for people, you know, little unique batches of things that, you know, I tested on an individual basis. And then some of the things kind of have more of a universal effect than people started asking for them. So I started making little tiny batches of stuff. And one thing led to another, led to our first company that you were also involved with, and then morphed into Alpha Vedic. And, you know, but what I make is what I make for myself and what I want for me. And as far as any other kind of monetary considerations or how much it costs to make things or time consumption, that's not a consideration. It's just, okay, what do I want to take for myself? What do I want to give my grandkids?
That's what we're all about here is, you know, health and wellness first and foremost for ourselves and our family and our community. And you're our community, guys. So we're every single jar and bag that we sell is put together here on the farm. It's all special. So go to alphavedic.com and check out everything we have there, and join the community platform, the private membership platform, because that's where a lot of these products are solely going to be sold. And thanks everybody for joining us today. Yeah, shout out to Beth Martins in the chat. Thanks. I'll be on with her on Monday talking about music and sky and thinking and destiny and self-governance. And then Bear, you're doing something, right?
Next Friday.
You're bringing out the kettlebells and then the maces and what?
Well, it's going to be hard to demonstrate a lot in an online thing, but we're going to just kind of outline certain concepts and have a very interactive question answer kind of thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love Beth. It was fun hanging with you, Beth, in Acapulco. And I know you want to make it to Music to Sky. Probably can't make it this go around, but next time we'll see you there, and love to have you come by the farm too, for sure. And Don Lester in the chat, love you, Don, and excited. Don will be staying at my house along with Mike Wilkerson and some others after Music and Sky. We're going to have a fun party here.
Don will have a lot of good quality time here at the farm too, because Mike isn't that far away from here.
Yeah, no, the plan is we'll be hanging out here and be picking herbs and taking lots of transitional elements
and jumping in a river
and jumping in the river. Yeah. And I'm going to, Mike is, you know, from Stellium 7, he's often in the chat. I don't see him today. I'm going to take him to, and Don, if you want to come, we're going to do a little day, up the Oregon coast and, you know, do some sightseeing and all that. This place is so amazing. Obviously we got to do the redwoods. We got to do the river. We got to do all that. I just want to be a tour guide, Bear. Like, I just want to do that for a living. Just have people come hang and we just like go play in the woods. So, okay guys. Well, we love you so much. We're going to go warm up and, I'm going to go see more of the farm right now and we'll probably shoot some videos. We want to get some more educational videos out about the products themselves and get those up on the pages. So, we can just explain this stuff better to the public and to you guys. And we're just, you know, we just love you guys so much. Thanks for all the support. It's great to see everything growing. You know, we're on Loosh Tube here and they're doing everything in their power to dampen our reach.
They just took down some more videos I saw the other day.
Yeah, we had a video about turpentine, I believe, taken down. I don't even know what that video was, but
a bunch of Nimrods. I mean, could you imagine having that job? Oh, well, there's probably just bots anyway.
It's all AI, but no, it's you know, I just was on with Ernie Hancock last night on a Cordal interview, and you know, he was really enthused by everything we're doing at Alpha Vedic and the community and Music and Sky, and he sees this as the path forward, like exactly what we're doing. And if you guys know who he is, he's a legend in the sort of libertarian voluntarist space. And, you know, this is all legacy stuff we're on. Like, Cordal's the future, our private platform, all of that is the future, moving into the private, understanding equity, You know, we play in this realm right now because we go back and forth between to reach more people and bring them over. But eventually YouTube's going to be a joke. Like, we'll be on here, but we'll be streaming on Cordal and, you know, be very sovereign in, on our digital footprint there. And my computer's about to die, actually. So, okay, guys.
That's a wrap. Love you guys.
Love you. See you next week with FPV. We'll be back on.
Oh, that's awesome.
To deep dive into the true nature of the realm. That's going to be a really good one.
They're the best.
Okay, guys. Love you all. Stop recording.